This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you tired of endlessly searching for work? Applying for jobs, never hearing back? Job openings vanish into thin air? What if there was one connection you could make and that'll link you to dozens of companies that are hiring? What if the connection was a locally owned business ready to help you and they don't charge you? Express Employment Professionals is your one connection. Go to expresspros.com. With endless opportunities, it's time to try something new in your job search. Let Express Employment Professionals help you. Expresspros.com.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Made it to a Friday. Happy Cinco de Mayo. It's a meat Friday at that. And yes, Tyler is working the grills. Flat top skirt steak fajitas, chicken fajitas, chips and guac, and margaritas. Who has it better than we do?
Oh, Nobody.
Of course, we won't have any of this until after the show, and our recipes are always available on the newsletter. Every Friday, Meat Friday, available. And make sure you sign up for the newsletter. It doesn't cost anything. We recap everything that happened on the show in case you missed it. And even if you didn't miss it, it's nice to have a little refresher there, and that's available at danpatrick.com. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of this program. Hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats, only one place to collect them all, Panini Trading Cards. They got memorabilia cards, rare inserts, autograph cards, start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. Boy, who thought that Anthony Davis would come back to Earth? Everybody.
No,
maybe I could have asked it this way. Who thought that Anthony Davis was going to have another great game?
Nobody.
And this isn't personal. I don't know Anthony Davis. I think he's been on a couple of times. I'm just looking at what the facts are. And I'm watching the game. There's certain players that you need to get going. I remember when Magic took over and was the leader of the Lakers, but Kareem was still there. Magic made it a point to get Kareem involved early. Therefore, he's involved on both ends of the floor. Anthony Davis is a guy you have to get involved in the game early. And we saw that in game one. And then he went off, 30 and 23. But then you're watching last night, and there are times, there was a three-minute stretch where I didn't know he was on the floor. That can't happen. And okay, even if he does play well, Golden State was going to win that game last night. They won by 27. But there was a period where I think the Lakers were down six and the start of the third quarter. And then all of a sudden, if you got up to get a beer and came back, they were up by 18. And, you know, Klay Thompson's another player. You have to get him going. You get him going early, look out. But if you don't get into the flow, there's certain players, if they don't get into the flow, they never get into the flow. And Klay is one of those players. Anthony Davis is one of those players. But make no mistake about it, Golden State responded like you would expect a defending champ to do so. Here's LeBron last night.
You know, we knew we were going to do that. That's what a championship team does. They held serve on their home court tonight. And we got to obviously see the adjustments they make. We got to make our adjustments coming into game three.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. When you're down maybe 8-10 points with Golden State, then you start shooting more threes, and then you're dead. Because you're never going to match them in proficiency at shooting threes. Draymond Green was wonderful last night. Played great defense and nearly had a triple-double. That's the Draymond Green from about 4 years ago. But wonderful passer, best passer on the team, even though Steph had 12 assists last night. But that's the difference. When it's all working for Golden State, you're not going to beat them. The question is, can you limit Draymond? Can you limit Klay Thompson? Klay Thompson was great last night, had 30. And Steph, I think, realized that early. It's like, okay, you know what? I might take the night off shooting. I'm going to rest my arm. I'm going to pass a little bit here. I'll give you 20. We're good. But here is Draymond Green talking about what the key was last night.
We played with more force. We played with more force on both sides of the ball. The ball didn't stick. We moved the ball and got everybody involved in the offense, and that was big for us. You know, when we're moving the ball like that, everybody's involved, it makes us a lot tougher to guard.
It does, and you saw that last night. If Draymond's passing like that, Steph's passing like that, the ball movement there, and I thought that they made the Lakers work. They picked up the tempo a little bit there, and it felt like the Warriors were going at a different speed. They've made 42 three-pointers in the series so far through two games. That breaks the record set by the Cavaliers in 2016 in the semis against Atlanta. But Klay went for 30, and he's now had six postseason games where he's had at least eight three-pointers. That's the most in NBA history. Paulie comes in and he goes, "Who's Jermichael Green?"
Jermichael Green.
Jermichael Green. I said, "I think Golden State just kind of picked him up during the season," or it was like, okay, they got him.
He plays about 12 minutes a game during the regular season. Last night, he looked like Ray Allen. They're spotting him up in the corner. Like, you know, one of the announcers goes, "You know what? You got to get it right back to Jermichael." I'm like, "Who's Jermichael Green?"
Do you have his bio there?
Yeah. He's been in the league like 10, 11 years. He played for Detroit. He played the Clippers, Denver, Memphis for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Got a lot of run in Memphis, but then he kind of cooled off. And there he is. The Warriors find these guys.
Yeah.
Spot up.
Yeah. Well, when you don't have to be the star and you have two or three other guys who can be the star, all you got to do is know what your role is. And they certainly provided that last night. Milwaukee Bucks fired Mike Budenholzer. And this is a couple of years after winning the championship. This has happened. Frank Vogel with the Lakers, Nick Nurse with Toronto, Budenholzer now. Steve Kerr is the only guy in the last 4 years who's won a title and kept his job. But I think if you're in Milwaukee, I don't think you're shocked at this. Nationally, you're going, man, he won a title a couple of years ago. And you start to look at what happened when you don't make it to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of times with the player I think is the best in the sport. So, you know, Budenholzer finished first in the Eastern Conference in three of three seasons, but it didn't translate into the postseason. They bowed out of the postseason, Eastern semis twice, blew a 2-0 series lead against the Raptors. Also, his, coaching philosophy or moves against the Miami Heat left some people baffled a little bit. I think he had the GM on his side. I think the owner kind of moved in and said, "We're going to move on here." And I thought that his job was in jeopardy the year that they won the title, because I thought that he might not make it through after that season was over, and then they ended up winning the title. And people in Milwaukee were complaining about him even after he won the title. Like, we won in spite of him. But I think you're looking at league-wise where coaches and even some players were like, wow, you win the chip and then you get fired a couple of years later? Yeah, this is a heartless business. Yeah, Paulie.
It's got to be the weirdest thing to be fired, but then know in about 3 or 4 years, you're going to be brought back to be put in some type of ring of honor or Mike Budenholzer night because he did win a title.
Like, I don't know.
He's getting it.
I don't know if there'll be a Mike Budenholzer night.
I guarantee, because they were going crazy about Carmelo Anthony at the Knicks game the other day. He didn't win anything. Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah, but he played. Mike Budenholzer was just a coach.
It's going to be Mike Budenholzer. 3 years from now, we'll keep an eye out for Mike Budenholzer.
The night. Mike Budenholzer bobblehead night.
Yes, but like Nick Nurse, he still is he walks on water in Toronto for that 1 year he gave them. You know, Joe Maddon in Chicago got fired by the Cubs. Joe Maddon will never pay for a beer in Chicago, but he's walks on water in Chicago, and for some reason they fired him.
Nick Nurse might take over for Mike Budenholzer in Milwaukee. Yes, Marv.
When Budenholzer is an assistant coach somewhere else or a head coach somewhere else, he'll get a video tribute. When he goes back to Milwaukee.
Oh, the video tribute.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's him going, like, just pointing at somebody. Yeah. Like, yeah, good job.
No, he's got his arm around Giannis. They're going, yeah. How about the great moments here? Let's look at the great coaching moments here. Yes, Seton.
I'm just trying to figure out that sliding scale of winning because of a coach versus losing because of a coach.
Yeah.
Because it's very rare that it's like, man, he really coached us to this championship. You'd almost never hear that.
I think it's almost like a universal thought or opinion that he could get out-coached in the postseason. The articles that I read, it's like often out-coached, had mind-boggling moves, didn't make adjustments there. It's almost like you had Giannis, you won a championship. Well, if Chris Middleton doesn't get hurt, do they win another championship? I mean, is that enough insurance there, insulation, where you go, I can't fire him now? But he won one, and it's almost like he accidentally won a championship there. Yes, Eden.
But if you're a good coach, it's like, well, yeah, the chances are you have a great lineup. And it's like, of course, who couldn't coach the Warriors right now to a ring?
That's true. When Durant was there.
I mean, who could? It's like it was harder to lose than it was to win.
Yes, Paul.
You know what I love? If you look back at all these coaches who won, like Nick Nurse wins Coach of the Year, gets a big extension, gets fired. You know, go back to, like, Gene Chizik at Auburn. What was it, like 2010? The undefeated Cam Newton win the national title, huge extension. 2 years later, he's out of a job. But they had to pay him. They all get paid.
Yeah. But Budenholzer was there, what, 5 or 6 years?
German for first-round exit, by the way. Budenholzer.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I can translate for you.
Well, it didn't help losing to the Heat. But then you had Giannis, who was injured, going into, hurt his back. Do you call Giannis? I'm going to guess the owner calls Giannis just to say, hey, I just want to let you know we're going to fire coach. Now, I don't know. Now, does Mike Budenholzer view this as a failure if you get fired?
Giannis, was this season a failure for a coach?
Coach Budenholzer, was this a failure this season? Yes, Paul.
If you're the owner and you call Giannis, are you alerting him that you're firing Budenholzer or discussing it? Because if you're discussing it, he can veto.
Oh, I don't think you're discussing.
Right, you're alerting.
Yes, yes. But if the GM calls and says, look, I'm not on board with this, but the owner wants to move in a different direction here, just letting you know. Because that way, hey, there's nothing I can do. I'm the GM, but the owner doesn't want to keep him here. Yes, Tom?
You got to handle these things sensitively, because if he starts to Greek freak out, then it's going to be a whole mess.
All right. Okay.
How do you move on from that?
Our players freak out.
All right. 12 minutes in. By the way.
By the way, what?
Todd brought dessert today for Cinco de Mayo.
I keep that wallet close to the vest, so that's kind of a big deal.
He said to me today, earlier this morning, he goes, come here. And he said it like in a weird voice, like, come here.
Weirder than the one he just used?
Yes. He goes, come here.
I wanted to show you something.
And I go,
you got very uncomfortable.
I said, no, I'm not, no, that's I'm not going to fall for thing. That. I'm not going to fall for that again. Come here.
You did fall for it once.
I want to show you something.
Look, I sat in gum.
Yes. And I go back. So we have two different refrigerators here, one for the backroom guys and one that we have. And Todd goes, come here. I want to show you something. And he opens up the freezer. And describe what you showed me, Todd.
There are four boxes of different types of chipwiches. Seton and I were all excited talking dessert recently. And Seton said one of the greatest inventions ever was the chipwich.
Yeah.
So there is four boxes of three, which should cover all of us. And I also got something special for the big German, special assorted caramel pops. But these chipwiches are birthday cake, cookies and cream. Then there's just the regular vanilla with the chocolate chips in it. And then there's like a fourth flavor. So four different types of chipwiches for a little dessert after our
lunch. Have steak fajitas, chicken fajitas, chips and guac, margaritas, and chipwich cookies.
Mint chocolate chip was the fourth flavor of the four.
Who
chipwiches.
Has
a traditional Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, of course. Famous for having that. Chipwiches on Cinco de Mayo.
Mexico celebrated with chipwiches after their victory over
chipwiches de Mayo.
Cortez.
Yes.
The chipwich guy.
Yes.
We've been doing this for a while, Dan. I think there's been more moon landings than times Todd's brought in food for the crew. What inspired us?
I don't know. I just felt Cinco de Mayo and comes out on a Friday. I was just in good spirits. My son's coming home from school. I'm just, okay. My daughter's dance recitals this week. I've just been an extra happy lately. And I'm like, you know what? Let's do a nice Cinco de Mayo little dessert on top of all the yummy food that Tyler's making.
Well, thank you, Todd. I appreciate that.
It'll be fun.
Celtics 76ers coming up tonight. The Nuggets and the Suns. We'll talk a little bit more about the Warriors, the Bucks firing Mike Budenholzer. Alabama needs a new baseball coach. They fired their coach. We'll talk about that, the gambling controversy. Panthers up 2-0 on my Maple Leafs. Stars and Kraken tied at one game apiece. We'll take a break. We're just getting started on this Friday. Phone calls always welcome. Tyler standing by, 877-3DP-SHELL. Say good morning to our radio affiliates. Also, Peacock, our streaming partner. Download the app if you haven't done so. You can watch the program for free. We'll take a break. We're back after this on The Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We bring in the voice for Sunday Night Football. Now at the Kentucky Derby, he's Mike Tirico joins us. You're trackside, aren't you, Mike?
Not a game. We're talking about a race. The first race coming up here in 5 minutes.
Oh,
yeah, here we go.
Okay, set the scene. Set the scene, Mike.
Set the scene. We have the fans coming in. Everybody wears pink on Friday because Saturday's the run for the roses. Friday is the best race for the three-year-old fillies, the Kentucky Oaks. Mm-hmm. So everyone wears pink, ladies, men, hats, the whole deal. This has really become like 3 days, Dan. They made 50-some-odd thousand yesterday. So over 100,000 today, 150,000 tomorrow. So this has become a bigger and bigger deal like everything else in America in life. And it's a cool, usually festive scene. There's a little bit of, you know, concern and controversy surrounding the race. So it's an interesting time here in the sport.
Let's dive into the controversy. Explain it, and how much coverage are you going to give this on NBC this weekend?
Well, we'll certainly talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Our coverage starts on UFA today, and we'll do it again tomorrow. A couple of times for sure. So four horses have scratched. It was a scratch just a short time ago, Skinner scratch. Now, three of those scratches were kind of normal horses scratching, where whether it was the horse wasn't training right, got a fever, had a little bit of a concern with it, a muscular issue, the horse scratched. One was a little bit out of the norm, and that's where the controversy of it, maybe the conflict is coming. Lord Miles, trained by a guy named Safi Joseph, who had trained a couple of Derby horses before. He's from Barbados. His barn had two horses die unexpectedly, not related to racing injuries. Nobody knew why. The autopsies for horses, which are called necropsies, aren't going to come back in time to know what's going on. So out of an abundance of caution, the people in charge of Kentucky Horse Racing Commission suspended Joe. They scratched his horse, and then the Churchill Downs, the track, suspended Safi Joseph indefinitely until they know what's going on. Joseph was upset by it. I just think it's kind of an abundance of caution situation for the track and the Horse Race Commission to make sure that horse doesn't run the race until they know what happens to the other horses.
How does that impact the Derby?
Not a ton. Was Lord Miles a favorite? No, 30-1 horse. The impact of the scratches is, so there's a points list to get in the Derby. The top 20 of the points list get in the Derby. Not all 20 automatically run in the Derby. Some say, I'm going to hold my horse. There's one, Blazing Seven. Their connection said, we're going to hold that horse till the Preakness. But then you go down on the list a little bit deeper to get other horses in. But not every horse sticks around and comes here waiting for five people to scratch. So right now we've gone from a field of 20 to a field of 19. A couple of the horses who came in actually have a chance. Mandarin Hero is one that's going to get some betting attention, I think. But it doesn't impact the field as significantly because none of the big favorites, one, two, or three, have scratched at this point.
Yeah, it's not like a Monday qualifier for a major in golf, right? You know, where you're,
exactly.
Yeah, let me hang around here with my jockey and see if I can get into the race.
Well, not too far from here, John Daly, famously as his eighth or ninth alternate, won the PGA Championship, right? So there were a few that were here, and they have slid into the field, three of them, as a matter of fact. But there weren't seven or eight hanging around. Their horses were like 24, 26 on the list. They are in other races, some on the card here, some further down the line.
Mike will be at the call hosting the Kentucky Derby Saturday, May 6th, noon Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Do you pack differently for this event?
No, I pack boots. I pack an old pair of shoes that three of my 6 years I have left here in Louisville because they're ruined at the end. Because it's a little muddy walking around and being a bad weather day. And the shoes are gone. They are not salvageable. But no, not really. You know, to bring some pink. I just can't say it's pink. Pink for today.
Oh, okay.
I've got something festive. I don't think festive, you know, but typical DP wardrobe, kind of a shirt with a little bit of something to it.
Class. Yeah, class.
Although your typical wardrobe now is a hoodie. How many hoodies do you wear?
Not enough. You can never have enough hoodies.
Give me a number. Do you have 50 hoodies?
Yeah, probably.
It's good. They're great. They're great. I think it's one of my kids, one of my friends' kids said, like, all you old people are getting hoodies to try to be younger, and you're not. It just makes you look older.
Well, how many blue blazers do you have, Mike?
Yeah, exactly. About six. I've got double-breasted. I've got three buttons. They're going to come back, honey, really. They're going to come back. I wore this on SportsCenter in 2002. It's not coming back.
Do you have a list of the celebrities who are expected to be there?
Partial list. I know Mahomes is coming, Peyton's coming, Aaron Rodgers is coming. I think Brady, I'm not exactly sure. There are other names that have been out there. The parties, what's happened, what's turned up a lot of the parties on Friday night. So you'll have fans, all that stuff, three or four different parties in town. I never get to see because we've had a 7-hour show on Saturday, but I hear it's a great time. My wife came last year and confirmed that it's a great event to go to. It's really enjoyable. I'm like, that's great. We're writing the 400s on the show to talk about this horse and his human connection. So it's all good. I really do want to come once as a fan. Have you been as a fan?
Yes, one time.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah, I went to the Belmont a few times, went to the Preakness a few times as well.
Well, the coolest part is it's a slice of Americana. You can't really see. Maybe I can do some cheap camera work here.
Right.
So I guess we're going the wrong way. No, yeah, this way.
Yeah.
So over there.
Yeah.
That's good. You can see the Twin Spires, maybe. That's where the beautiful people sit. This is Millionaire's Row over here.
Yeah.
And then over here to the other side, you've got the infield where people get it for like 20 or 30 bucks. And they hang and they don't see much of the race except on a big screen. So you've got the whole span right here. And they're all betting the races and having a good day. Most of them don't come to any other races during the year. And that's what's made this thing a bucket list event for a lot of folks.
Can you just walk up and buy a ticket?
You know, I don't think for the Derby, but today for the Oaks.
Oh, okay.
Even though there are 100,000, I think you can buy general admission. I don't think you can buy this. They built a brand new grandstand over here to my left that seats 7,000 right by turn one. So it's a really neat place. It really is. And this is as big an industry as this state has, bourbon and horses, whether it's the racing, the breeding, all of that. This is the epicenter of it. And for Louisvillians and for Kentuckians, this is their pride and joy. They roll out the red carpet for us.
How long would it take you to run around the track?
Well, it's a mile. So
could you run it? Could you run the mile?
I can run a mile. I don't think I can run it in 4 minutes. I think it might take me a little bit longer than that.
Like right now, if I just said, would you run the track? And then I'll just put you on hold.
Oh, right now? Well, there are horses on the track right now.
And?
There's a race going on.
Mike!
I think I'd be behind them a little bit, Dan. let me see. In race one, hang on a second. Let me look at the board. They ran the first half mile in 48 and a half seconds.
Okay.
You know, Rich Eisen runs a 40-yard dash in 6 seconds. It's going to take me a little bit longer. I need some time here. I'm an old man.
We were mentioning Kobe's 60-point game when he took 50 shots, and you and Hubie Brown were on the call. And I just remember I tuned into the game, you know, just to say goodbye to Kobe, at least visually. And I remember you and Hubie Brown were saying, we're not really sure what to expect. You know, maybe he could get 20 or 30. At what point did you realize Kobe's going out with guns blazing?
It's a funny night. I'll tell you about it. It's so funny you brought that up. I was just talking about that night with Mike Rapoli. Mike is the owner of Forte, who's the favorite in this race. Mike and Kobe were really tight business partners. And we were talking about that night because the Lakers played, I think, in Utah the night before, or not Utah, somewhere else. They played the night before, and Kobe was trying to play as many games as possible. And we had the pregame meeting, and usually it's the coach, but Kobe came in the room with me, QB, Lisa Salters, Ed Fibishoff, our producer. And Kobe was like, I don't know, maybe I have 10 minutes and a half. I'm gassed. I'm exhausted. I got nothing. And then he started scoring, and he started scoring, and started scoring. And there's a point during the game where there are free throws on one end, it's the third quarter, Kobe's on the other end, he's tugging on his shorts, and Kobe used to bite his bottom lip when he was fighting through pain, kind of like this, right? And he's kind of doing that, he looks over at us, and he just starts to crack a smile. And he just kept going, and Hubie had a dream the night before that Kobe was going to score 50. And he said, I honest to God, I'm going to tell you, I just had a dream that Kobe's going to have a big night, and that's one of the favorite nights I've ever been on TV. That was just a night to remember. And then after Kobe passed, ESPN played the game. He passed on a weekend, and they played the game on a Monday night. I sat and watched it. I was on with Van Pelt afterwards on SportsCenter. And I watched the game with chills and just pride. That was such a memorable night. And we did it as a bouquet to Kobe's entire career as the whole night went on. And Ed Fibishoff used a hell of a broadcast. I'm glad it stood the test of time because it was reminiscent of Kobe's greatness and all of his great moments. And he gave us one last one there as well.
Do you save your boards on every game that you do? Do you have your boards that you do to prepare for a game? Oh, okay.
I do. I've got everything in a box. They keep meaning to go through them and go to that one. I absolutely have. I have the credential from that game. And a picture of me, Hubie, Lisa, Kobe, and Eddie Fibishoff that I've saved. At some point, I want to pull out the special ones. I forget. I was watching somebody. I don't know if it was Nance. It was somebody. And they said that they keep all the – yeah, it was Jim. Talking about the Final Four. And he said that he keeps all of the charts that he has had for all the games. So I looked at my wife, and I'm like, you see? it's not just me. I've also got a box of stuff that I don't look at, but I hold on to those and make notes on them. And
Mike, will, Mike, some point look at this building I have. This is everything I've saved. I have press credentials from 1984 at the Boston Garden. The 1983 NFL draft. Like, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have a man cave to put all this stuff in.
I that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to buy a building like you. Maybe I can just borrow. Is there an extra floor that I can sublet from you?
You can store stuff here if you'd like to. If you give it to me to split. I mean, Carson Palmer gave me his Heisman for a year to display.
That's so cool. I don't have anything that good to give you to display, but I do like the Bob. There's that Bob Knight in front of you, right?
No.
No. Is that Knight?
That is Lou Holtz.
Oh, that's Holtz. Oh, my God.
At Arkansas.
All these years, I thought that was Knight.
No, everybody thinks it's Bob Knight because he's dressed in red, and Lou.
Yeah, the Colorado.
That's from Arkansas.
That's fabulous.
Yeah,
that's
too good. Yeah, I have my little figurine in front of me here. Have fun this weekend. Yeah. Great.
Thank you.
Great to talk to you.
I will.
All right.
I'm glad you're well. See you.
Thank you. Mike Tirico, Sunday Night Football play-by-play, and he'll be there at the Derby. And Saturday, their coverage starts at noon Eastern on NBC and Peacock. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo!
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
If you're hearing this promo right now, it means you're listening to some other show. Well, why the hell are you doing that?
Yeah, get your priorities straight.
Well, maybe, Tony, they listened to this week's episode already.
I don't care. Listen to it again.
Yeah, great point there, Tony. Anyway,
you.
So you listening out there, make sure and go do that and listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Ramona Shelburne from The Mothership, senior writer, NBA Today panelist, and joining us on the program. Random question to start out. Would you rather have Klay Thompson's career or Scottie Pippen's career?
I think 100% Klay Thompson, because that would mean that I spent my life in Oakland with Steph Curry, right? It was a really fun guy to hang out with. And Klay, to me, is a, he likes to go fishing in the San Francisco Bay. Steph is like a really nice, gentler co-star, superstar. And like Michael Jordan's breathing fire at me every day. Like Michael Jordan's going to tear my head up if I miss that defensive rotation. Steph just might look at me bad, but you know, much better workplace environment, I think.
All right. Based off last night, how much confidence do you have in Golden State, or how much confidence do you have in the Lakers?
I picked Golden State in 7 in this series, and I think I stick with it because it wasn't the home court advantage that gave me the confidence in them in the series. I thought it was the fact that they had been there so many times in this. The playoffs are a chess match. Every game, every half, every possession is just adjustment, adjustment, adjustment. And I thought they've just done this so many times. LeBron's done it a lot, but none of the other guys on the Lakers roster have really done this in a sustained way for more than really just Anthony Davis in the playoffs in 2020.
We're still trying to figure out Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
It feels like we're going to continue to still try to figure out Anthony Davis. Why is he such an enigma?
You know, somebody very influential in Laker land said this to me 2 or 3 years ago. We don't really know what makes him tick, right? Like there's certain superstars who you understand who they are, right? Like at his core, like you kind of understood what Kobe was about. You understood what he wanted out of his career and out of every game. I think you understand what LeBron's about. I mean, LeBron, you know, if Kobe wanted to be Michael, I think LeBron wants to be Jay-Z, right? I mean, he's both a billionaire off the court and a mogul off the court, but a 4-time champion wants to be 5-time, 6-time if he can on the court. You know, to me, his closest comparison as a player is Magic, right? He's 6'9 and can distribute the ball. I don't know what makes Anthony Davis tick. Like, I don't know. Is he trying to be an all-time great center? Is he motivated by fear of, like, I don't want to fall short? Is he motivated by, I want to prove myself to LeBron, or I want to shut Charles Barkley up with the street clothes stuff? Like, I don't know what it is that makes him in that fundamental sort of fire way tick.
But I wondered, think that's like, yeah, that, Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
Pau didn't have that fiery temperament.
Right.
But it worked. Why did it work with Pau? And you had Kobe there.
Yeah.
Staring him down. But is that what it takes, that, you know, almost the fear of failure with Kobe there breathing down?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, literally Pau and Kobe. I mean, that was the black swan, white swan stuff. But I think two things about Pau Gasol. It's a great comparison. I thought Pau wanted to be excellent. Pau is a high achiever. He's like, would have gone to medical school if he wasn't a basketball player. He is somebody who, when he messes up, when he doesn't bring his best in a game, he's disappointed in himself because he knows he can do better. Like he's your classic high achiever in school, high achiever in life. And when he disappoints himself, he disappoints. You don't need to even tell him, right? He already knows. Anthony Davis, I think a lot of times he gets down on himself when he is not playing up to his level. In 2020, I thought he was really motivated by LeBron. LeBron was sort of his Kobe, if you will, right? Like, he wanted to impress LeBron. He wanted to prove to LeBron, like, I have the championship medal. I see LeBron talk to Anthony Davis the way Kobe talked to Pau, but it's not LeBron's personality. Like, he's never going to black swan, white swan him. Right, he's never gonna try to motivate him in that way. And so I really think that it has to come from within with Anthony. The best person to talk to about Anthony usually is his dad. He's known him his whole life. He knows what motivates him, and he always tells me about the championship game in Kentucky, where Anthony didn't really have a great game, but he played lights out defense, and he had one of his best rebounding games, much like you saw in that Memphis series. And I think for Anthony, the key is really not to get down on himself, is to focus on what you can do for the team rather than what you're not doing when things are bad. Like a lot of what people in Lakerland talk about is keeping him up, keeping him from getting down on himself. And that's a different wiring for a superstar than you normally see.
Well, I noticed when you engage him early, then and he's successful early, then I know he's going to give me something at the other end as well. And it's almost like, you know, later in Kareem's career, Magic got him engaged early.
Yeah.
So he didn't sort of drift a little bit. And that's game one, he was engaged. Game two, he never got it going. And there was a 3-minute stretch last night. I didn't know he was on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some of those defensive highlights. Like I like to read Anthony Slater's breakdown articles in The Athletic afterwards. And he had a couple of clips and it was like AD on defense. And it was like, he was just walking around. Like, and I was like, I've never seen AD walk around on defense. That to me is, hey, I thought he was really fatigued after game one. And it was a quick turnaround. Like he played so hard every single one of those 44 minutes in game four. In game one. And I don't know if you can play with that level of force two games in a row with that short of a turnaround, and especially not when you're already down 20. Like, I almost felt like it was close for a little while. They fell behind by too much, and then they're just kind of saving it for game three and four at home.
We're talking to Ramona Shelburne, ESPN NBA insider, senior writer, NBA Today panelist. I don't know if it's recency bias, but this is a topic that's come up. If Steph would win a title, and now he's got five, where is Steph? And then people even said he would move past LeBron.
I mean, those are the two dominant players of their era. Okay. And I'm not including Giannis yet in that era because I think he's younger. Okay. Steph's 35, LeBron's 38. So Giannis, he's a little younger and a little more time to go. But I don't know. Steph is a really interesting comparison for everyone. He's the closest comp to me, and this is going to sound weird, but it's really Tim Duncan. He's this sort of you appreciate him. Of course, people appreciate him. They think that he's great, but he sort of gets tagged with this system player the year when everyone was hurt. And then, you know, it was just kind of him all alone. They finished eighth. Remember that year, 2 years ago? And there was this thought like, You know, he needs Clay and Draymond and a team around him. Whereas if you had Michael Jordan or if you had just LeBron, they could carry a team. I think that narrative is false. Like I've seen LeBron when he doesn't have the right team around him. We saw that at the beginning of this year when he didn't have the right team around him. Right. And they barely finished seventh. So to me, Steph will 100% will be remembered as the greatest shooter of all time. That's like out of the question at this point. Like he's already got that. Now I think when you get to five, now you're in a totally different group of players. Now you're up there with Magic. You know, there's like you're not quite to Jordan yet, but there's a Kobe's got five, Magic. Like this is a different echelon of all-time greats, and Steph. I don't think he gets enough credit because of the two he won with Durant. You know, Durant was clearly the finals MVP, but if he wins another one, another late career title where he's the man, he's the superstar, just like that first title they won, I think that puts him in that rarefied air. Whereas LeBron, to me, I think he goes down right next to Michael, 1A, 1B, as the greatest players of all time, just because it's not just about the scoring or the titles or anything like that. It's just the eyeball test, right? I mean, like you watch LeBron and there's never been a 6'9 guy who plays with as much force as LeBron does, with as much skill.
Were the Bucks looking for a reason to fire Mike Budenholzer?
Yeah, it's been out there for a while, right? I mean, I feel like I've heard the fire Bud stuff for 2 years, 3 years. And the year they finally won the title in 2021, like, it almost felt like he had to win a title not to get fired. I mean, it just felt like in that direction. Then he won and then you go, okay, well, you stay for a little bit. but it was one slip up away. And it is kind of remarkable, though. I was thinking about this last night when I was watching the Warriors. So 2019, Nick Nurse wins the title. Now he's been fired. 2020, Frank Vogel wins the title. Now he's been fired. 2021, Mike Budenholzer wins the title. Now he's been fired. Who won in 22? Steve Kerr. And he's the only guy who, like, when you talk about sustainability as a team and as a coach, it's really hard to do that in this era, especially with giant personalities. Like, you have to have a superstar to win a title. Okay. I don't know. This one hurts because we all know what he's been through personally with his brother and everything the last month or so. But it really comes down to your superstar. I mean, they're never going to fire a coach without running it by the star. I remember when they got rid of Jason Kidd before this, you know, they told Giannis and he tried to save him. You know, he really had a bond with Jason Kidd. He flat out at the end of the last game, he said, I thought we could have made more adjustments, but that's on the coach. I mean, so I think this is about the relationship between Giannis and Mike Budenholzer. If it was a great one, if it was something that he would go to the mat with, Mike would still be there.
Ramona, great to talk to you. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.